Welcome to Harlow on Healthcare. I'm David Harlow, and I invite you to join me by my virtual hearth as I sit down with healthcare leaders to discuss building the future of healthcare. Today, my guest is Dr. Gary Call, Chief Medical Officer for HMS. Thank you, Gary, for joining us today on Harlow on Healthcare.
My pleasure, David. Thanks for having me.
So we are interested, of course, in a variety of things in the healthcare and healthcare information systems and services on the bleeding edge. I wonder if you could introduce HMS and yourself a little bit, and then we can dive in.
Sure. I'll start with my background. I am a family physician, board certified, worked in a lot of different healthcare settings over the years. I have been a private practice physician. I've worked in a hospital setting. I've worked for a vertically integrated healthcare system. And for the last 5 years, I've worked for HMS as their chief medical officer. HMS is a company that's been around for over 40 years, and our company really focuses on healthcare cost control as well as improving health outcomes. And we do all of those things using data, analytics, and technology. And that's really the focus of the company, is to address the pressing issues that affect cost and outcomes using technology.
Okay. Well, certainly in the current environment, we're dealing with a pandemic as defined or identified by the World Health Organization with the coronavirus. And information is certainly an issue at the forefront. And I'm wondering how you are thinking about information, public health communications, and the engagement that's necessary with the public at large and many members of the public who will become patients in this unusual environment.
Yeah, it's interesting, during public health emergencies like this one, and this is certainly seems to be unprecedented, at least in my experience in healthcare, there's a great need to get information out to people, especially in the environment that we're seeing where recommendations and information is changing very rapidly. It's important to have a way to get information out to people that need to be in contact with that information. And so there are a group of stakeholders that need to engage with each other. That includes government entities, employers, healthcare payers, and certainly citizens and patients here in the United States. And so it's really important to have methods to get information out in a timely fashion. One of the things that we believe is that you can't get the kind of communication out that needs to happen without engaging data analytics and technology. We feel like it's very important to have access to those tools in order to get the kind of scale that we will need to be able to get people the information that they need to stay healthy and to decrease the spread of this pandemic. I think, in our opinion, it's really important to make sure that there's an ability to get credible information that's very accurate, but also timely and out to populations in a way that they can understand it. And I think those are the focal points for us, is how do we use technology to get scale, still make sure that we're giving information to people in a way that they can access, understand, and engage with.
Right. And I think one of the issues there is how do we break down the population at large into different groups that we need to reach differently with different kinds of information or through different channels? And though we're dealing with a novel virus, we're dealing with a population that we should know pretty well already. And I'm wondering if you can talk about connecting the dots a little bit there. How do we deal with different populations, and how do we address the fact that we're dealing with something completely novel at the same time?
Yeah, I think as we work with our clients, what we're trying to focus on is that they need access to advanced analytics in order to develop different target groups, because your outreach is not going to be the same for everyone. You've got to be able to target different groups of people, because the messaging is probably going to be different depending on the groups that you're trying to reach out to. And so I think that's the first message that we have is you've got to have advanced analytics to be able to do that. And I'll talk a little bit more about some examples. For example, you may have immigrant populations. And certainly in the current healthcare environment, being able to get information about the coronavirus or whatever public health emergency that we're dealing with, getting information to immigrants in a timely fashion, in a way that they can understand it, is really important. So, you know, one of the things that we emphasize is being able to get good translations of materials and information that makes sense in a cultural context as well as a language context. In other words, you can't just translate things word for word, but you've got to have expertise in the whole context of the message that you're trying to get across. I think it's really important that we also be able to address fears that immigrants may have with all of the information in the news recently about the public charge rule. There's certainly a lot of fear in immigrant communities that if they seek care, they may be targeted for deportation or having their ability to stay in the country impacted. So getting some messages out to that group of people that addresses those concerns, I think, is really important. The other thing about immigrants is oftentimes they may not be familiar with our healthcare system or how it works. So helping them have an understanding of how to address the particular issue within the context of the U.S. healthcare system, I think, is really important. So that's an important part of messaging. You know, another group that we know is high risk in the coronavirus population is the elderly population. And so trying to get messaging that will engage them and get them to change their behaviors is really critical. And that's where I think it's important to have behavioral health experts who can craft the messaging that will get people to change behaviors. So right now we're asking elderly people to really isolate themselves. That's very challenging and difficult for them. Many people already suffer from loneliness as it is. So now you're asking them to cut off all of their normal communications by not going out to restaurants, not meeting with groups of friends, church and community activities may have been suspended. So I think it's really important to, again, use your analytics to target people who may be at risk for loneliness, who are the elderly people in the population, and especially combining people who are elderly who also have high-risk health conditions. Those are all things that analytics can take care of. And then I think it's really about the messaging of how do you get a message that helps people understand the importance of self-isolation during this time for them to decrease their risk, and how do we maybe even provide some social interaction with some of the outreaches that we do. We find that many elderly people really actually enjoy some of the outreach calls and messaging that they get because it gives them a chance for some social interaction. So I think having messaging that's sensitive to the situation and sensitive to the needs of the population that you identified through your analytics, those are all really key things that are really important.
Folks who may be at higher risk of isolation and loneliness make sense in the broad spectrum of situations. And I imagine there can be messaging tailored that's quote unquote off the shelf for a variety of different situations. However, again, looking at the current situation in this country and around the world, we're dealing with something novel. And I'm wondering how quickly people are able to pivot, folks you're working with, in terms of designing new communication programs that can be slotted in to the different sorts of delivery channels that have been identified as being most useful for different populations.
Sure. I mean, I think it's really important to be able to pivot quickly. And obviously, this is a new situation with the coronavirus, but it is something that organizations like ours have experience doing. So it's important to be able to get messages tailored and out to the populations and be able to segment the populations quickly. So right now, we feel like if we are doing a program for an existing client, we're really able to get a new program out the door in 1 to 2 days. If it's somebody where we don't have their data and we have to build some connections, we estimate that we can usually do that in a 3 to 5 day period. So it is important to be able to get information out the door. I think it also highlights the importance of organizations having a partner like HMS that has these capabilities, already queued up ahead of time before maybe an emergency situation hits, so that you can reduce that turnaround time to some of the shorter times that I talked about. It's important to be able to also have a partner who has multimodal outreach capabilities, because we all know that different people respond differently to different types of outreach methods. And so some populations may respond better to interactive voice response calls. And you know, we typically see that, for example, in a Medicare population, versus if you called me, I'm probably not going to answer the phone, but I might respond to a text message. So having the analytics capabilities to determine which messages and which modalities work for which groups is really critical to getting the message out quickly, so that you don't waste a lot of time reaching out to people through a methodology and a modality that they already have. But I think having a partner lined up ahead of time is important, and looking for partners who have done this before. So just for an example, you know, we're talking about coronavirus now, but one example that we use with people is, you know, with Hurricane Irma for the affected areas, HMS was able to engage with some health plans and other local authorities to get messaging out to people who were in the hurricane path before the hurricane even hit, explaining to them how they could get extra refills of their prescriptions so that they had enough medication to get through the crisis without having to go to the pharmacy. So getting that message out to the right populations, people who we were able to use analytics to identify that, hey, this person has a chronic illness, they take regular medications, and getting that message out to those people in a timely fashion so they could go to the pharmacy and understand that their health plan would let them go to the pharmacy before their normal refill period was really critical. And, you know, just to talk about the scale in that particular interaction, we were able to get the message out to 800,000 health plan members in 2 days from the time that we started the program. So again, engaging with people ahead of time so you have a partner that knows how to do this is a really critical step that anyone can take who might need to reach out to people during an emergency situation.
If you're just tuning in, this is Harlow on Healthcare, coming to you on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm David Harlow, and my guest today is Dr. Gary Call, Chief Medical Officer for HMS. Gary, we're talking about sort of the ability to pivot and take action quickly. And I think the other side of the coin here is being able to continue sustained action. We were talking before about elderly populations and social isolation. I mean, if somebody is quarantined or self-quarantined for an extended period of time, the risks around social isolation really go up exponentially, I would imagine. Are you working with folks who are designing sorts of engagement programs that go beyond personal phone call? What do you see happening on that front?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important to understand how much social isolation really impacts people's health. So, you know, we've seen studies where 1 in 3 people over the age of 45 report loneliness as part of their life. And some of the statistics around what loneliness and social isolation can do to people's health is pretty startling. There's a 64% increase in the risk of dementia. There's a 32% increase in the risk of stroke, and a 29% increase in the risk of coronary artery disease. The result of all those things and the isolation itself, we see a tremendous increase for that population in the number of emergency room department visits that maybe aren't emergency, in the number of hospitalizations that occur, and also people that are placed into nursing homes that maybe could have stayed in their home setting with the right support. So as we deal with the coronavirus crisis, I think it's really important to think about, you know, what's going to happen to this elderly population that, again, we are instructing to isolate themselves for their own protection. How is that going to make this loneliness issue even worse? And how do we help them maintain and rebuild relationships? So one of the things that we use is just a communication strategy. So putting together outreach programs that can really serve to stimulate them, to give them instruction on safe socialization, and to allow them to have an outlet for interactions with other people, or at least getting messaging from the outside. So those are programs that we currently are able to build and are able to, again, touch base with people so that they feel like at least they have some interaction, even if they need to socially isolate. And we have found that that makes a difference in those healthcare conditions that we talked about earlier.
So have you seen these tools and this platform mobilized in another sort of public health emergency situation? You've talked about Hurricane Irma and prescription refills as one example. I'm wondering if you could touch on other sorts of scenarios where this has worked, where this can help, where this together with other sorts of interventions.
Yeah, I think another example would be the wildfire situation in California. So we're all familiar with, you know, the impact that that had really over the last few years, but certainly last year with the incredible fires that resulted from some of the power line deficiencies that happened. And so, you know, I think that, you know, again, having an opportunity to reach out to people quickly and give them different messaging, whether you're a government entity trying to get information about evacuations and power outages, you know, the rolling power outages that they've had in California is another example of where this kind of information can be used. And then again, from a healthcare perspective, trying to get people information during that type of crisis, again, going back to the wildfires, you know, what's going to happen to your copays and deductibles? How can you get care if we can't give you a prior authorization because the power is out at our office? I mean, all those kinds of things that typically are processes that people use to access the healthcare system, communicating information to them during those kinds of settings is really important so that people know what they can do, what exceptions will be made, and how things can work in the system when things aren't working normally. So I think that's another example of places where we've seen a use for this kind of messaging. And that's kind of an ongoing thing. Like I said, it's not just during the fires, but with all the power outages that are happening as the power companies in California are anticipating having to shut down power during high wind times or other weather events that might trigger fires. And that creates a lot of havoc in the system. So again, being queued up and ready to get those kind of messages out to people during that kind of a event, I think is really important. So I don't know that we've ever seen, at least again, in the time that I've been in healthcare, which is a fair amount of time, a healthcare crisis of the nature that we're going through right now, where it's impacted the whole country. But there are also local outbreaks, like sometimes you might have a water contamination issue, you know, things like that. So there's numerous instances where using this kind of technology to do outreach is going to be in order. And then we talked already about pharmacy issues, and another big area where we use this is in pharmacy recalls. So when a drug has been recalled by a pharmacy, it can be really hard for pharmacies to do outreach to get a hold of patients who may possess lots of prescription drugs that have been recalled. So this is a rapid way to do outreach, and we do a lot of those kinds of programs. That's something that we do on a regular basis as those events occur. So those are some examples, David, of the kinds of things. It's not always a huge national crisis. It can be things that happen on either a regular basis, like drug recalls, or something that happens periodically, like planned power outages.
Sure. So I have to ask, this is probably not what you thought you were going to do when you entered medical school, or was it? I'd be interested to understand your path to your current position.
Yeah, this is not the. I don't think I even would have known anything like this existed when I was in medical school, to tell you the truth. So it's interesting where life takes you, right? So I was in I was in practice for quite a while and did some management in a vertically integrated healthcare system, and then sort of got interested in the business side of medicine. Ended up working for some health plans. Did that for a while, and then became really interested in how do we solve the problem of containing costs in the healthcare system and doing it in a way that makes sense? And then how do we improve outcomes? And so I sort of came upon HMS as a company that was doing those kinds of things. And it just made sense to me looking for opportunities to really make a difference, not just in my local practice with several thousand patients, but how can I make a difference across the whole country? And you see that, you know, we waste so much money on fraud, waste, and abuse. A lot of people estimate that up to one third of the money spent in the healthcare system is wasted in one of those buckets.
Right.
So trying to find a way to do that. And again, you know, we're having worked at a health plan and seeing the limits of what we could do, and now coming to HMS and seeing how much more we can help as a partner with access to large data sets and really advanced analytics and some real great experts at doing cost containment. It really kind of opened my eyes to what's available to the system that maybe we aren't taking full advantage of from a cost control perspective. And then again, of course, the best way to really control healthcare costs is to get people to do the right thing the first time. So we do that with a lot of outreach and education to providers about billing errors and mistakes that they might be making. But the ultimate way to do it is to get patients to get the healthcare they need at the right place, at the right time, in the right amount. And that's where some of these outreach programs that we have really make a difference. So HMS has population health management programs that go beyond these emergency programs that we talked about today and really work with our partners to improve healthcare outcomes by messaging and engaging with patients in a way that will help them change to healthier behaviors. So things like preventive healthcare outreach and reminding people to go get preventive healthcare services, or reaching out to people after they've been in the hospital and talking about their transition home and are they getting the care that they need and are they accessing their prescriptions and are they having any red flag symptoms that might alert us that they need to reach a healthcare provider sooner rather than later to prevent a readmission to the hospital. So things like that were really intriguing to me. Just having an opportunity to work with a lot of smart people to do data analytics and technology work was really interesting to me. And that's kind of how I ended up here.
Looking forward from where we are today, I guess I would ask, do you see any key learnings coming out of this coronavirus experience, or is that too soon to say?
Well, certainly it's a fluid situation where things are changing rapidly. So some of it is probably too soon to say. I think what we've seen in the United States and some other countries is we probably reacted too late and the messaging was a little bit confusing at the beginning. And I think that's because we probably weren't as prepared as we needed to be for a pandemic of this nature. And so I think the learning is, you know, sort of let's understand that we need to communicate and message out to our communities ahead of time and already have systems and products lined up that are able to do that. I think the other thing that I would learn from this is, you know, what people forget, and not to minimize the coronavirus because it's obviously a significant threat and a big problem, but one of the things that doesn't get the proper publicity, I think, is really influenza. I mean, every year we have worldwide influenza pandemics that kill hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. And within the United States, since 2010, the CDC has said that anywhere from a range of 12 to 60,000 people in the United States die every year from influenza, but we don't really get people getting excited about that. So I think that's on the healthcare system for not painting those risks as well and getting people to understand. So I think that's another learning for me is I think that we could really do a better job around healthcare risks that we already know about and getting as much energy behind that as we've gotten around the coronavirus. And so I think that, you know, it'd be great to see people doing more significant messaging and getting people to engage more in the community about things like influenza, preventive health, all the other things that we know where there's tremendous opportunity to save lives, but because it's not a crisis, or it doesn't appear to be a crisis, or we don't have the kind of media attention that coronavirus has gotten, maybe those things don't get the attention they deserve. So I think through using programs like we've talked about today that really engage people and get them to take action, whether it's preventive health care influenza, getting a flu shot, or whatever other the issue might be, I think that's something that we can take as a lesson that we really need to do more to engage people in their own health in this country to prevent unnecessary deaths, whatever the issue might be.
So to wrap things up today, Gary, I'd like to ask you my final question, which is, what is one thing in healthcare that you would hope or expect to find has changed dramatically in 5 years? If you were to wake up tomorrow and it's 5 years in the future, what would you think would be different?
You know, one thing that I would really like to see is that we have really used engagement solutions to get patients to take sort of responsibility, give them the tools to take responsibility for their own healthcare more. And I think the tools are out there. It's just engaging the patients and getting them the information that they need. I think people are anxious to get that. I think that's the single biggest thing that we could do in our healthcare system to change the outcomes is to get people engaged with their own healthcare. And the best way to do that is to get them reliable and credible information that they can rely on as they try to work on improving their own health. So that's the thing I would like to see in 5 years is that we've been successful in improving how we do that.
Okay. Sounds like a good idea to me. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to Harlow on Healthcare. Join us at healthcarenowradio.com. Let's continue the conversation on building the future of healthcare together at #HarlowOnHC. I'm David Harlow, keeping the fire going and holding a seat open for you. Until next time.